Man, the title of my sermon this morning is Man, the Greatest Creation of God. Man, the Greatest Creation of God. The Bible reads in Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And the first point that I want to make this morning is that, number one, man has the greatest dominion or the greatest authority of all of God's creation. Everything that God has created, man is the one who has dominion over all of it. The Bible says that man, at the end of verse 5, has been crowned, which a crown has to do with authority. He's been crowned with glory and honor, and he's been made to have dominion over all the works of God's hands. The Bible says that God put all things under his feet. Verse 7, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, Psalm 8 is quoted, but man has been given the greatest dominion, the greatest amount of authority. God has put all things under the feet of man. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, while you're turning to Hebrews 2, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, what does dominion mean? Dominion comes from the Latin word that means lord. It's the same root word where we get the word dominate. It means to lord over, to be the boss of. So the Bible says that we have been given dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Meaning what? Bring it under control. That's what it means to subdue something. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what we need to understand is that the animals that are upon this earth were created for us to use, for us to subdue and to have dominion over and to rule over. We are, as human beings, the greatest creation that God created, and we're at the top of the food chain, and we are to dominate and subdue this earth under us and to have dominion over all fish, all animals, all fowl. We are the greatest creation of God. You say, why preach about this? Why talk about this? Well, first of all, I think we should preach and talk about everything in the Bible. Yeah, right, man. And the reason why is you never know what kind of lies or heresy or attacks on the truth are going to come. So it's good to just preach the whole Bible. That way you got the whole armor of God just to protect you against whatever lies come out there. There are some things that we take for granted and don't preach about. And then next thing you know, it's under attack. And then you wish that you would have taught that chapter. You wish that you would have taught those truths. But today it's pretty obvious why these truths are so important in a day where man worships and serves the creature more than the creator. Many people today literally worship animals. And there's nothing new under the sun. If you go into ancient history, you'll find all kinds of hieroglyphics and all kinds of artifacts of man worshiping animals. People today will tell us that animals are better than humans. They're smarter than humans. They're at more peace with the environment than humans. And we need to strive to be more like animals. We've all heard this today in 2018 America. But I'm here to tell you that we don't play second fiddle to dolphins or elephants or whales or spiders. We as human beings are the greatest of all of God's creations because we're the only creation that was made in the image of God Himself. We are made in the image of God. We've been crowned with glory and honor. This whole earth was created for us to subdue and have dominion over it. The animals were created for us. We weren't created for the animals to serve them. They're here to serve us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." Now, what does that mean, the world to come? This is referring to the millennial reign of Christ, and it's also referring to what we know as the new heaven and the new earth. And the Bible says that the angels will not rule over the world to come. "Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." Verse 6, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Sound familiar from Psalm 8? "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." Look at the next phrase. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him." Now, just in case you wondered whether all really means all here, he says there's nothing that has not been put in subjection under him. "But now we see not yet all things put under him." So in the world to come, will man truly have the full dominion that God had originally planned. Verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." Why? Because he was made flesh and dwelled among us as a human being. "Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. When God created man, he told him to have dominion over the earth and to subdue it, to dominate the fish, the fowl, the animals, even the great whales that God created. All of those things God has put under our feet. Now, we do not yet see all things fully subdued under us, but in the world to come, we will continue to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, and we will have that dominion, even over the angels themselves. At this time, we're a little lower than the angels, right? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 1, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So number one, man has the greatest dominion. Man has the greatest authority as the greatest creation of God. But number two, man has the greatest intelligence. And if you would flip over to Proverbs chapter 30. Man has the greatest intelligence. Now, this should go without saying. Right. You know, I shouldn't really have to park it on this point, that man has the greatest intelligence. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 73, 22, and this is a comparison that the Bible often uses when it wants to talk about someone being dumb. It says that they're like a beast. Yeah. A beast is an animal. You know, that they have the intelligence of a beast, right? Like where Asaph said in Psalm 73, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." Okay. Animals are foolish and ignorant in comparison with human beings. Job 35:10, "But none saith, Where is God my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven?" All right. Now, a lot of people today, though, they have this backwards where they think that the animals are smarter than us. I remember when my son was in the hospital, they had these dogs in the hospital that were there to be a morale booster for the kids that are in the hospital, that they would pet the dog and whatever. It's like, okay, that makes sense. You know, they have these dogs there, puts people in a good mood, helps them get better. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, the Bible says. So they had these dogs. Well, apparently all the dogs that are brought into the hospital to perform this service receive a special blessing before they do this job of going into the hospital. So they had this blessing of the dogs ceremony that happened to be going on while I was there with my son Isaac. So we went down and looked at it, and this female preacher came in, this minister, and she was there to bless all these dogs so that they would bring healing into the hospital rooms. And she got up and gave a little speech about how, you know, God is dog spelled backwards. And about how, you know, there's so much we could learn from these dogs. We should become more like a dog, and we should excel to achieve, you know, what they've achieved, and we need to become more like these dogs. And then she put a blessing on these dogs. And my son Isaac claims, and I don't believe him, he claims that he heard her say to one of the dogs, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." I'm hoping that he misheard that. I told him, I'm like, "You heard that wrong, son. I don't think that's what happened. I didn't hear that." But then again, it probably wouldn't be that surprising, right? It was just weird. But that's the mentality today that a lot of people have, like that basically our animals are better than us, and people get weird about animals sometimes today. And it's not a Christian attitude. It's not a biblical attitude. It's a pagan type, godless attitude that worships and serves the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you're going to worship the Creator, you need to understand that man is made in the Creator's image. Therefore, man is the greatest creation, not beast. Okay. Now, obviously, we should not worship man. We should worship the Creator in whose image man is. So man has the greatest intelligence. Man is more intelligent than any beast. And man is also more intelligent than any computer. And if you just look, if you don't believe me, just look at the world of robotics. They get all excited when they can get a robot to fold towels or something. It's like, woo, woo, woo. Whereas we could get the dumbest person to fold towels, no problem. Right? We could find someone who's super low IQ, and they can easily outfold that robot any day of the week. And we don't even understand how much our brains do. It's so complicated. I mean, even just something as simple as just shooting a basketball into a hoop. I mean, the amount of brain that goes in. And you know what? There are a lot of dumb people playing a lot of basketball. But I mean, what they're doing is amazing. Because of the fact that they have to just have all these nerve endings firing all the right muscles and all the right tendons in their leg. I mean, their whole body goes into it, their legs, their body, their arms, and they have to aim it and fire it at the right speed and the right power and the right direction, the right velocity. I mean, it's just amazing. I'd like to see a robot play basketball. I mean, robots aren't even close to being able to do that. Right. Robots can barely even walk around without looking weird. You know, they're like, you know, they can't even walk normal, let alone run down the court and shoot a basketball, which a little child could do, which even very low IQ people could do all day long. And so it's pretty amazing the intelligence that God has given us. And we are only using a small percentage of our brain, science tells us. There's so much more that we even could use of our brain if we would use it to its full capacity. And just the powers of learning that we have and the achievements of the human mind, like creating calculus even hundreds of years ago, is just truly amazing. But number three, not only is number one, man had the greatest dominion, the greatest authority of God's creation. Number two, man has the greatest intelligence. But number three, man also has the greatest physical prowess. The greatest physical prowess, or even the greatest physical body of all of God's creatures. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Andrew, there are a lot of animals that have a better physique or a better body. No, man has the ultimate physical body. Now, look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 29, the Bible says, "There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going, a lion which is strongest among beasts. So which beast does the Bible say is the strongest? The lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, an he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. Now in this list of greatness, the lion, which is strongest among beasts, is there, but the last person mentioned, which is the most preeminent, is a human being. The king against whom is no rising up. Now let's see who wins, man versus lion. Go to 1 Chronicles 11:22. Man versus lion. Who's going to win? Of course, man will win because man is the greatest creation, has the dominion over all creatures, has the greatest mind, and even the greatest physical power. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 11:22, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. So this guy went into a pit fight with a lion, and he won. Now you say, well, Pastor Anderson, you're wrong because lions are stronger than human beings. But here's the thing. Even if you find animals that have certain attributes that are greater than the human attribute, human beings have the full package. Human beings have the greatest versatility. We have the greatest combination of speed, strength, intelligence, endurance, tolerance. If you put all these things together, human beings are the strongest creature on this earth. So not only does man, and if you would go to Jeremiah chapter 12, not only does man defeat a lion in a fight, you say, well, he was armed. It doesn't matter how he did it, he won. And you know what? Men could kill lions all day long today. They say that the adult male lion has no natural predators, right? Except for man can destroy him easily with his mind and physical prowess and whatever tools necessary. And obviously we know that Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, he didn't have a gun or a bomb or anything like that. I mean, he was obviously using some kind of a weapon that was more primitive, since this is thousands of years ago that it took place. But not only does man defeat lion in a fight, men can even outrun the greatest running animals. Even horses themselves are defeated by man in a race. Look what the Bible says in Jeremiah 12:5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustedst they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? So here's a verse that mentions a man contending with horses in running. Did you know that there are actual races today, man versus horse race? And guess who wins? Human beings win every time. You say, well, that's not true. Well, they're 100-mile races. So over the course of 100 miles, even though the horse would be able to sprint faster than that, over the course of 100 miles, a human being can outrun any animal. Any animal. In fact, no other animals, except just a few, can even come close to running 100 miles. A human being can run 200 miles without stopping. You say, that's crazy, that doesn't exist. Even right here in Arizona, there are races that take place every year where people run for 24 hours straight. With no break. 24 hours, I mean, the sun comes up, it goes down, it comes up again, and they're running the whole time. That's right here in Arizona. And there are other people who've pushed it even further than that and have run for days on end, run for 40 hours straight, 48 hours straight. You say, that's crazy. Look, man has been created with an amazing mind and an amazing body. Amen. To be able to do these exploits. Now, the only animal that could even come close to outrunning a human being over 100 miles would be a horse or certain types of dogs, but those dogs can only do it in freezing weather. Can they outrun a human being? Because even in normal weather, they'll overheat in that time. But only these type of dogs that would pull sleds in the Arctic, those kind of dogs could, you know, give a man a run for his money, no pun intended, but not Not in normal weather, not in hot weather. No, a man is the greatest runner on the planet. That's pretty amazing. But not only is man the greatest fighter, the greatest runner, and let's look at some other scriptures on this. Flip over, if you would, to 2 Samuel 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22. While you're turning there, I'll just read for you some other verses that kind of compare human beings to animals in their prowess. 2 Samuel 1, 22, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Look at 2 Samuel 22, verse 34. This is David speaking. He maketh my feet like hind's feet. A hind is sort of like a deer, that type of animal. And setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Flip over to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. The Bible reads in 1 Chronicles 12, 8, and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. So the Bible talks about people being able to run like deer and run like roes and harts and leaping upon the mountains. Song of Solomon 2:8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. So even King Solomon himself was a great runner that could leap and skip on the mountains. The prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 18 outruns Ahab and his chariots. 1 Kings 18, 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's like 20 to 22 miles in distance that Elijah runs and beats the chariot there. You see, in ancient times, they used human beings to run messages, not on horseback, but just on foot. And in the Bible, it talks about men running and bringing messages. There are stories like that in the Bible. Why? Because a horse can't go over certain terrain. Even if it's faster on flat land and the right conditions, a human being can leap on the mountains and skip on the hills and climb and just more versatile, just a greater fighter, a greater runner. But not only is man the one that God has given the greatest dominion, the greatest intelligence, the greatest mind, the greatest physical prowess, man is also the most complex of all of God's creation. The most complex creature, the most complex body is the human body. And the human body is amazing. I mean, we could just go on and on for hours about how amazing the human body is, but how the human body can just pretty much adapt to almost anything. It can adapt to almost anything. I mean, there are people today living in scorching hot desert climates with no technology. We're them. No, I'm just kidding. It's us. No, we have a lot of technology that helps us out. But anyway, but here's the thing. There were people who lived here, you know, Pima and Papago Indians that lived in this area right here, even without the technology, in that scorching heat. And throughout history, people have been able to live in extremely hot, scorching climates and adapt to it. But then man can also adapt to the super cold. You've got the Eskimos and the Laps living up in the Arctic Circle and just adapting to freezing temperatures. And then people who live in Botswana and the Kalahari Desert that are doing, you know, hot weather, dry, barely any water in the summer, and then it gets cold in the winter. And our bodies can just adapt to these things and handle these extremes. Greater than any animal is the human body, the human being, that is more complex and can do more. Now, what's also fascinating is that not only is man powerful and adept on earth to be able to fight and run and have great strength and endurance and might, but man can also go into the water and swim in an amazing way. And this goes to show how complicated the human body is. Our human body is built in such a way to prevent us from drowning using all these amazing mechanisms. And I don't understand how anybody could think that it could possibly just evolve that way. Why would human beings who live on the earth, who are clearly a land creature, why would we be built with just all these amazing functions to be able to go in the water and do all this stuff? You know, it's just, oh, it all just happened by chance. It's all just evolution. No, evolution's garbage. Amen. It's a lie. It's a fraud. Right. It doesn't happen. It doesn't take place, okay? People adapt within their surroundings because God made us so adaptable, but we're not going to change species. You know, there's just adaptations built in where God allows us to, and look, a lot of animals, they can adapt to different heat, cold, different climates too, but humans are the greatest though. Okay, so think about this. When a person jumps into the water, right? Actually, just all these changes happen in their body the moment that they hit the water. The moment that your face touches cold water, things change in your body. Your heart rate slows down so that you don't use as much energy so that you can actually stay underwater longer. Now, how far do you think somebody can dive underwater? And I'm not talking about a scuba diver. How far? Really far, right? How far? Who thinks they know how far a human being can dive underwater? Couple hundred feet? Yeah. And you know what? But that's pretty shocking to most of us who get to the bottom of like a 12-foot pool and our ears and head feel like they're going to explode. I mean, have you ever swum down like 12 or 15 feet? I mean, it hurts. Like, it's like, you know. And I've been snorkeling before. And, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing or anything. I was just a beginner at it. I'm still a beginner at snorkeling and things like that. But anyway, I was snorkeling, and, you know, I wanted to go down deeper, though, to kind of see some other stuff. So I started swimming down deeper. Man, you get down like 10 or 15 feet below the surface, you start feeling that pressure right away. It's pretty intense because all that water is pushing down, and it just becomes exponential as you go deeper and deeper. It gets so tight. But the human body, even though we think like, oh, man, I got to go up for air, you can actually handle it. You know, there are people who train themselves to go deeper, and they literally swim down with no equipment hundreds of feet under the surface of the water. And in fact, people can go down with no extra equipment, just with their bodies the way God made them, they can go down over 300 feet and come back up with no equipment. Over 300. Now, I don't recommend that. Kids, don't try this at home, all right? But what's amazing is that when you go down deep into the water, your body will slow down. The cold and the water will slow down your body so that you can actually use the oxygen more effectively. And as you go down into the water, your body will literally just adapt. And when people go down in that pressure, literally their lungs, just all that pressure just makes their lungs like shrink down to just these tiny little balls. All the air, everything just compresses. Because if you were to bring a basketball down there, it'll just go like, anything will. So when you get in the water, at first, have you ever tried to swim down and you can't really go down because you're so buoyant, right? And you have to really struggle? Well, here's the thing. Once you get down to like 30 or 40 feet, though, you stop floating to the top because all that air just goes, your lungs are like, your internal organs are like, okay? Everything just tightens up. This sounds fun, right? Your whole chest cavity tightens up. And what happens is when you get to like 30 or 40 feet, all of a sudden it starts pulling you down because you're no longer buoyant. Now you're being pulled down. So you swim hard to get to 30 or 40 feet, and then you just start sinking. You start dropping down. And people have been doing this for thousands of years. People would go down and dive for pearls, and they would spend like literally up to like 10 minutes down there. I mean, they would just build up to it. They would go down like 125 feet and be down there for like 10 minutes and then swim back to the top. and your body just adapts. Your heart rate will slow down to like less than half its normal speed at those depths. Everything slows down. And then when you swim back up, your body does it all in reverse. Now, here's what's interesting too. Let's say you're underwater and you black out of lack of oxygen, right? Well, then your body has this automatic switch where it shuts your mouth and shuts your throat automatically to not let water get in. And then you'll just be blacked out for like 2 minutes like that. And then a couple minutes later, your body will make one last ditch effort to make you breathe again. And if you're underwater when that happens, you die. Because you'll suck in the water in your lungs and die. If you're out of the water, you'll come back to life and be fine. Now, I'm not recommending any of this, all right? I'm just saying, it's just amazing how God built all these switches. And you know, when you think about a baby being born, it's kind of the same way. Like when a baby's born, it's underwater. And when it's born, and some people give birth underwater also. My wife has given birth to, I think, about maybe half of them underwater. And when you give birth in like a tub, they're under there. They don't breathe. It's only when they come out of the water, right? And the air hits their face, and then it's like a switch goes off, and then all of a sudden now they're breathing. But they don't need to breathe when they're underwater. And even a newborn baby, they have these like swimming classes for newborn babies. You can put, don't do this, don't try this, all right? Disclaimer, people on the internet, none of this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. But anyway, they'll literally take a newborn baby and just put it underwater, and automatically the throat and mouth will shut and it won't suck in the water and everything. It has that instinct. But then as we get older, we kind of lose that instinct. And so it has to be trained, you know. But little babies can swim. I've seen these videos where these little newborns almost, I mean, less than a year old, are swimming in the water by themselves. And a lot of people, they take these classes because they don't want their kid to drown in the pools. They teach it how to, like, do a back float or whatever. But isn't that just amazing? Yeah. I mean, just the way the child develops in the womb and it's underwater and then it just goes from the water to just being out of the water. And then as an adult, you can go back into the water and go down deep and all your intestines and everything get all... But you can survive, though. You're still alive at the end of it all. I mean, it's truly amazing what God has created in the human body. That it can even be amphibious in that sense, to be able to swim way down and do all that. And go, now, here's what's interesting. Let's say a scuba diver tried to do the same thing. Let's say a scuba diver went down to 200 feet. If a scuba diver just went down to 200 feet, hung around for an hour, and then swam to the surface, they'll die. Because they'll get decompression sickness. So what happens is, if they have compressed air in their tank and they go down to 200 feet for an hour, it takes them 10 hours to go back to the surface. If they go faster than that, they'll die. Wow. And if they went to 300 feet with compressed air, they'll just die, period. There's no way to decompress from that. Because what we breathe is actually nitrogen, predominantly. It's what, 76% nitrogen, 23% oxygen, 1% carbon dioxide and other gases. I remember that lesson in elementary school. And so, you know, the nitrogen gets in their blood, and then when they're down there breathing all that compressed air on the scuba gear, and then when they come up, that the nitrogen like bubbles in their blood and will kill them. So a scuba diver has to be real careful, go down real slow, come up super slow, follow all these rules. There's a ton of training to go that deep, and you got to get all these certifications. You got all this gear, or you can just literally just jump in and just swim down that level in the body that God made you and swim back up. It's pretty amazing. And again, I'm not recommending it. So the point is, human beings have all these capabilities that we don't even think about, because obviously we have all this technology. We kind of live a sedentary life. We've become kind of soft and weak. But our bodies have these capabilities. And look, our brains, we might let them atrophy a little bit, right? Sitting in front of the idiot box, rotting our brain in front of the television. But, you know, people who train their minds, people who memorize scripture and read books and study and learn things, you know, they can do great things with their mind. People who train their bodies can do great things with their body. The potential is there. There are even blind people who've actually lost their eyesight, but they can walk around no problem, like as if they can see, because they click their tongues and use sonar like a bat. And this is something that blind people are learning how to do now, where they just use their hearing and they click their tongues and they can find things. I mean, our bodies are capable of amazing things. Why? Because man is the greatest creation of God, the most adaptable, the most intelligent, the strongest, the most powerful. Why? Because we were created to dominate every part of this planet. And we were created in His image. And of course, He's perfect and He created us to be like Him. So we are truly an amazing creature. But not only that, number four, man has the greatest value. Man has the greatest value. Man is much more valuable than any animal. When given the choice between saving an animal's life and a human's life, we must save the human's life. Amen. In fact, Jesus Christ sent 2,000 innocent poor little piggies off a cliff in order to save one man. Amen. He saved one man and killed 2,000 pigs. And He didn't even care. The Bible says in Matthew 10:31, if you would turn to Romans chapter 1, we'll close in Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans 1, but in Matthew 10:31, the Bible says, "Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." So that means we're of more value than many spotted owls or whatever else, too. You know, we are of greater value than any animal or any creature. And that's why it's sickening the way people got upset that they shot a gorilla or something. Because they were trying to save the toddler's life. Like, well, you didn't have to shoot that gorilla. Well, so what? You know, if there's any chance that the toddler's in danger, shoot the gorilla, save the child. Because that toddler is of more value than many gorillas.
That's right.
Okay. Animals, they die and they go to the dust. They're not going to heaven.
Amen.
Period.
That's right.
And when the rapture happens, every animal will be left behind.
That's right.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Not one of them is going to go up in the rapture. And people say, well, the Bible talks about animals being in heaven. Yeah, there's going to be different animals in heaven. These ones are gone. These ones are toast. It's going to be different animals because God creates new animals. They don't have a soul that continues on and lives. So what's the moral of all this? You know, why are we talking about how man has the greatest dominion, the greatest authority, the greatest intelligence, the greatest physical power, the most complexity, and the greatest adaptation, and also the greatest value? You know, what's the point of all this? Why is that? Well, first of all, like I said earlier, we're being brainwashed that animals are better than us all the time by the left-wing, environmental, wacko kind of crowd. But look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. The Bible's saying, look, when you look at the creation that God has made, it's not that you kind of see that maybe there's a God. No, it's clearly seen that there is a God.
Right.
It's not fuzzy or muddy or foggy or controversial. It's just clear.
Right.
There must be a God to have created our amazing bodies, and not to mention all the millions of amazing animals that have been created. And then the pinnacle of God's creation, we don't even have to go on a zoological expedition. Just look at our own bodies. Just look at our own children being born to see the marvel of God's power and God's creation. Even to just look at the heavens, the Bible says, the sun, the moon, the stars. And we look at those things and they declare the glory of God. And we look at those things and we know clearly God's power and His Godhead. And it says, look, nobody has an excuse because God has showed it unto us that He is our Creator. But the Bible says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, meaning not that they were saved, but just that they knew God, meaning that they were confronted with God, or they knew Him from the natural world. They saw Him clearly in those things. It says they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So instead of looking at the natural world and just marveling and saying, wow, thank you, God. Thank you for this amazing creation that you've given us. Being thankful to God and saying, wow, you did such a good job. And that's what a lot of the Psalms are doing when they're praising God for all of his handiwork and the work of his hands and the physical world and the creatures that he's made. Instead of being thankful and saying, wow, God, you gave us these amazing minds that we could use to achieve all kinds of things. Amazing bodies that could achieve all kinds of works and achieve all kinds of actions. Instead, they became vain in their imagination and said, well, you know, maybe this all just came from nothing. Or they started, instead of looking at that ape and just marveling at the creation, they started thinking, well, maybe that's where we came from because he looks a little bit like us. I was at the zoo just a few weeks ago. Which animal was it? Was it the baboon that we were looking at where this guy, I overheard a guy saying, this is the closest relative that we have as human beings. Which one was it? John, do you remember? It was the baboon. Have you ever looked at a baboon? Now, baboons are pretty weird looking. And they're not intelligent. It's like, oh, look, we taught this monkey to do sign language. Right? Look, we can do a lot more than that as humans than to just say apple or whatever. You know, we can do a lot more than that. I'm not impressed. But this, not even a monkey, not even an ape, not even a gorilla. The guy's standing in front of the baboons telling us, oh, this baboon is our closest relative. I said, you know what? If that's our closest relative, that's quite a missing link. Like, that's a missing chain.
Right.
That's not a missing link. That's the whole chain's missing. Because we're nowhere even close to that baboon.
Right.
It's not even similar. And it's like, oh, well, you know, two eyes, a nose, a mouth. I mean, that's what these evolutionists say. Like Richard Dawkins said, you know, a real designer. Because one time I was driving in the middle of the night and Richard Dawkins came on the radio. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to listen to what he says, see if he has any arguments that make any sense. Because this is supposedly the smartest, you know, evolutionary biologist that every atheists like worship this guy.
Yeah.
They say that it's the greatest book they've ever read. And I even heard this atheist that was like an expert swimmer saying that she, when she's on these like really long, like 25 mile swims and stuff, she like quotes Richard Dawkins' book in her head. Like Christians would like quote scripture. She's like quoting the God delusion while swimming or something. I mean, it's just, that's how these atheists are with, oh, Richard Dawkins. The guy's an imbecile.
Yeah. Right.
Guy, not to mention a pedophile, but the guy is an imbecile. I mean, this is what he literally said, because the radio host asked him a pretty good question. The radio host said, hey, just give me your go-to argument for evolution for the people who don't believe in it. You know, just kind of give me on the back of a postage stamp, what's just your quick way to prove it? He said, oh, well, I mean, the way to prove it more than anything is just how similar all animals are on this earth, you know, and how the DNA is so similar. When they start talking about the DNA being similar, just keep this in mind. All the DNA is, it's just a schematic for what the creature is. So we don't have to go look at the DNA to find similarities. You can also just look at the creature. I mean, if you look at the creature and they both have two eyes and a nose and a mouth, four limbs, then yeah, okay, there's going to be similarities in the DNA, right? Since there's similarities in the organism. They both have a heart. They both have a brain. There's a lot of. I mean, look, you could find a lot of similarities between us and that baboon if you start thinking along those lines. You know, knees, elbows, a backbone. We're both vertebrate. You know, a brain, a stem. You know, so he's just like, oh, it's so similar. And this is what Richard Dawkins said. He said, you know, a real designer, he goes back to the drawing board every single time. What kind of a designer goes back to the drawing board every single time? Actually, what intelligent, because he's like, if it was intelligent design, everything would be different. But it's all similar because they're all related. That's not true, because you know what designers actually do? They design one thing, and then they tweak it a little and make it better, make it better, make it better, make it better, make it better. And you know what? That's why God created all the best stuff on the last day. Right? Why? Because he's building up to it. Now, all of God's creatures are amazing, but a real designer builds in complexity, but they don't go back to the drawing board. Look at all the cars in the parking lot. Let's do a DNA test on all the cars. They all have a couple headlights. I mean, remember that weird car that had three headlights? That didn't go over, right? Who knows what I'm talking about? Was it a, what was it called? I don't remember, but there was some car like 50 years ago, three headlights, where, you know, remember the DeLorean? The doors that open up, you know what I mean? Yeah, there are going to be a little few genetic anomalies out there, but, you know, most of the DNA out in that parking lot is either going to be a two-door or a four-door. There's a trunk over and over again, headlights, taillights, right? Pistons, four pistons, six pistons, eight pistons. There's not 20 pistons or three pistons, right? There's a lot of things that are just kind of the same. Why? Because they found something that worked. Four wheels. Yeah. It works. Yeah. You don't see a bunch of like tricycle cars out there with like one wheel in the front. You know, they find something that works and they stick with it.
Right.
Right? Look, all those cars in the parking lot, they're all clearly related. So that proves that they all came from nothing. And that one evolved into the next. I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
No, all these cars in the parking lot were created by the same companies, the same businesses that learn from each other. They're all intelligently designed. And you know what? This world that we live in, yeah, it's filled with animals that are similar because God created designs that work. And he just used different variations on those designs that work. You know, every animal that we see is built for a reason the way it is. Even weird animals, and we look at it and think it's weird. But if you study it more, you'll realize it was created exactly for its environment, for its purpose, what it's supposed to be doing. You know, it's created that way for a reason. And it wasn't just all evolution, natural selection. It's garbage. It's lies. We need to be thankful. And we need to give glory to God. You say, why is this sermon important? I'll tell you why. Because when you don't thank God, and when you don't give the glory to God, and when you don't marvel at his creation and praise him for his creation, you go down this road in Romans 1, where you become vain in your own imagination. And they profess themselves to be wise, and they're fools today.
Right.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But they call themselves, what, a professor. They profess themselves to be wise.
Right.
They're fools. Yeah. But man, they think they're smart, don't they? The Bible says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Here's what we need to take away from the knowledge of the Word of God and the knowledge of the natural world is that we need to spend our lives serving God.
Amen.
Serving the Creator. What do we use our minds for? To serve God. What do we use our bodies for? To serve God. Why? Because he said that we're to serve him with all our heart and with all our mind. We're to love him with our mind. Love him with our strength, right? So what do we use our physical bodies that God created to be so adaptable for? We use them to serve him, to obey him, to work for him, to preach the gospel to every creature, to work hard, provide for our families, and raise up godly children. It's to serve the Lord, not to serve animals, not to serve the environment, but to use the environment to serve God.
Amen.
And obviously we shouldn't be trashing the creation, but the biggest trasher of creation is the government.
Yeah, right.
With all their nuclear testing and all their dirty bombs and everything else. And then they tell us we're putting out too much carbon. When they're putting out more carbon than we ever thought of putting out.
Right.
But they, obviously we shouldn't be trashing the place, but we're to use it, to subdue it, to have dominion over it. But it's all in the end to bring glory to God. All things were created for his pleasure. the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. All things are created for His glory, His pleasure, not for dogs or animals or dolphins or owls or whales. All the glory goes to God. And it's not for us to worship ourselves. It's not for us to say, oh, God's given us this amazing body. Let me just go stare at myself in the mirror in the gym. Right? And just worship the body. Right? Let me just post selfies of myself all day long, just flexing every muscle on my body to worship the body. Right? Look, no, why don't you use that body to go do something for the Lord?
Amen.
You know, if you have great stamina and great endurance and great strength, why don't you go out and be a great worker for the Lord?
Amen.
Right? I'm for being strong. I'm for those things, but use them. I'm for being smart. But you know what? There are a lot of very intelligent people, though, who are just like that bodybuilder at the gym, except instead of just doing bicep curls in front of the mirror, they do that mentally. You ever get around these people that are just mentally kind of like... like they're not, instead of using their brain to serve God, instead of using their brain to do something for God, it's just a showing off. You know what I mean? Like instead of using great Bible knowledge to preach a great sermon or to win souls to Christ or to teach the Word of God to babes, instead, they just show off their Bible knowledge and their degrees and their scholarly, you know. It's just a mental bodybuilding competition for them. It's like a brain builder. Okay. And you know what? Bodybuilders look like goofballs to normal people.
Right. Yeah.
They do. I mean, when we see these guys that are just like, and look, I'm all for being fit. I'm all for being strong, getting in shape. But I'm talking about these guys who take it too far.
Right, right.
And then their head is like too small for their body.
Yeah.
It's like their arms are just like way too big for their torso. They're just totally out of proportion. And they're just like bulging with just every vein and everything. And they look like they're about to have a heart attack. We look at that and think they look like a goofball,
yeah.
Especially when they wear that circus outfit. It's like a one-piece outfit that goes from like shorts into a tank top, like as a onesie. You know, like a clown would wear, you know what I mean? And they wear that and they're just like, yeah, I look so good. And you know what? Everybody else is thinking like, no, you don't look good.
Right.
You look like a freak because you went too far.
Yeah.
And those guys, it's not even healthy. Because they're not even building strength. These bodybuilding is not even about how strong you are. It's just about how you look. It's just about posing on a stage or something, you know, and all these different poses. You know, look, it looks goofy, but you know what? We look at a lot of these theologians, and that's how they look to us.
Yeah.
You know, we tune into their sermons, and it's just like, and we're just like, change the channel.
Yeah.
Right? Who even wants to listen to that? Somebody just all puffed up, you know. They're like, I'm going to puff you up. You know, they're just all puffed up. And the Bible says knowledge puffeth up,
right. But
charity edifieth.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we use our strength, we use our brains, we use the dominion and the authority and the charge that God has given us, and that we use these things for the glory of God. It's about getting something done for the Lord. Not just about how strong we can get for the sake of looking in a mirror or how smart we can get just to show off how smart we are, you know, and just tell everybody, hey, look what I know, look what I can do. No, it's just about getting something done because He gets all the glory.
Amen.
We're to bring glory to Him. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this marvelous creation that You've given us, Lord, and we just pray that no one would go down that Romans 1 route where they start getting puffed up and they stop giving You the glory, they stop thanking You, and they start just getting vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind, Lord. Help us to humble ourselves and to have David's attitude that says, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Even though we're the greatest creation, we're still lower than the angels. And we still have to marvel that You're even mindful of us when we think about the vastness of the universe, Lord. Thank You for dying for us. Thank You for giving us eternal life. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.